Did it seem as though any effects were off on any of your friends?
What, the hippies effects? Yeah, a couple of them are still hippies today. Or try to be. They really do. They like that kind of... See, it was free sex, free love, free everything. And I think that I think that's one of the problems with our society. Is now all these people are grown up and they're having kids. These people have no morals, no values, and then they raise their kids. They raise their kids in communes, most of the hippies did. Or they have these really free ideas, if it feels good, do it, you know, try it once. I mean, they couldn't help but pass that on to their children. And so these children are pretty much, I think, a lot of times confused. Don't know what, you know, they don't have any morals. Where I was taught morals growing up, and even my society was taught. These people that were hippies were taught morals growing up. They just rebelled against the standards of right and wrong. And they just were, you know, so I think that it has had an effect on our society. And, like I said, some people still act that way. I mean, free love, free sex, free van, hippie van, you know. Hey man, hey baby, whatever.
In the early 1970s, you were in high school at this time. Sexual freedom was becoming more accepted. Did it seem this way in the community that you lived in?
Yeah, big time. See, the thing that my parents couldn't understand was, and my mother still doesn't understand it to this day, she grew up in a time when everything was pretty tight, you know, moral, no drugs, they drank, but smoked cigarettes, but my young brother and sister grew up, and I'm 8 years older than one of my sisters and 12 years older than my brother. She thought the world had gone to pot. But I really was a pretty decent kid, and I just shielded my mother. I didn't tell her a lot of things going on. They wouldn't let me out of the house as it was. I didn't get to date at all till I was almost 16. I couldn't want to make it till I was 15. My other brothers and sisters, younger than me, they started doing it things a lot younger, so that they were really tight on me being the first child. So, I mean, there was a lot of people. I knew people that used cocaine in high school. I knew sexual things were going on all the time. Drinking, LSD was big, and I knew people that used LSD. I actually saw people that had been using it. Scary to see, you know, because it was just so free and rampant. People didn't think that it was. See, all this probably started in California, late 60s, but by the time I graduated high school, it had finally made its way all the way here. So in the 70s, weren't too bad, but by 72, it was pretty bad.
Devices from birth control are becoming widely accepted and used during this time. Do you remember the church ever describing their stand on this matter? Did they ever discuss it in church?
No.
Or was it just your own decision, what you wanted to do about it?
No, we never discussed birth control. We discussed morals. And we discussed what was right and wrong. We didn't discuss if you want to take the pill or not, if you wanted to do this or not. We discussed what was right and what it says in the Bible about premarital sex, which is totally against premarital sex, mostly for your own good, but you know, we never discussed. They didn't expect you to do it, and they didn't want you to do it. Abstaining is what you should have done, and that's all we discussed in church.
Because like some religions don't believe in birth control at all.
Right. Well, ours do. I mean, they don't expect you to have some religions do. You know, as many children as God gives you, you know, go for that. But we don't make any stands on that.
Obviously, in the 1970s, the abortion matter became very much talked about after the Roe versus Wade decision. Because of your beliefs, how did you react? Were you against it or for it?
I've always been against abortion. Always against abortion. I think it's wrong to do that. I think it's wrong for people to get pregnant like that. I'm not totally against abortion, like in a medical sense, when it's a medical emergency, a life-threatening situation. If neither one can live, or they have to make a decision. I changed my views when I kind of took on to my parents' views. because my parents always felt like it was right to have an abortion if you were raped. And I kind of took on that view because that's how they taught me. But when I got older, I kind of, especially older, a little bit older, married, I'd say in my early 20s, I kind of changed my mind on that. Where I would never like to have a child if you were raped, it'd be really hard for me to have an abortion because that child is part of me. And I just don't know that I could take a life that way. So I'm totally against, you know, abortion except for like a medical situation, a medical emergency.
Okay. Without giving any names or anything like that, did you ever know or hear about any of your peers being pregnant or having an abortion like in high school?
No. Not an abortion in high school, that was not really very, still very much accepted. Because I don't think it was really legalized for a while when I was in high school until all that happened. But there was several, I mean, pregnancy was still pretty much common. People, usually when I was in school, things really changed. When I was in school, they didn't let you go to school when you got pregnant. When they found out you were pregnant, you couldn't go to school anymore. And by the time I graduated high school, that was not the case. They let you finish school, but it was kind of really looked down upon. But earlier, like when I was my sophomore year or so, if you got pregnant, you just kind of like dropped out of sight, had the baby somewhere, gave it for adoption. You didn't come back, you know, a lot of times. But one of my really good friends, she got pregnant, and she did finish school. I think she ended up dropping out, but I remember her sleeping a lot in class because she was pregnant and maybe tired. And she had a bad situation because her dad had died, and it was just a really bad situation. She had actually tried to get me involved with somebody else too. I don't think totally on what was her brother, but it was really a sad situation. She was a young mother. But I have several friends. I had a friend, Elaine, who got pregnant really young in high school. Lots of friends.
During the 1970s, you were married. Did Mr. Maynard share your religious beliefs when you started dating her?
Yeah. I became a Christian when I was 8 years old and asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And he became a Christian when he was 19. And I wouldn't have really dated him if he hadn't had the same views. I think it's very important in a marriage to have the same views, religious, raising kids, future goals, all that. So he became a Christian. He didn't attend church. When he did attend church, though, his family did attend a Baptist church. And so he became, and he actually had an uncle that was a Baptist preacher. A big time bad Baptist preacher. J.B. Uncle J.B.
Would it have mattered? I guess it would have, if he wasn't the same religion, it would have mattered.
Yeah, I wouldn't have dated him very long. Because I don't believe in doing that. I believe in, if you start dating somebody and then, you know, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like buying a house, you know? If you want a house with a basement, why are you going to look at a house with a slab, you know? So kind of like that when you're dating, if that's the time to be looking around before your heart gets on, well, I got to have this house with a slab no matter what, you know, before you get that controlled, you control it with your mind and say, you know, if this doesn't change, you know, if you get to going with your heart and your emotions, you can't make a rational decision about a person. And, of course, I always prayed about the person I would marry, and it would have made a difference. I would not have dated him very long at all. Not seriously.
Okay, you had children. And you wanted to raise them as Baptists. Was this because of, I mean, you didn't want to change religions because...
Well, I didn't necessarily want to raise them as Baptists. I wanted to raise them to, you know, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wanted to raise them to say, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. It's more important than who you marry. It's more important than what you do. It's the most important decision because we believe that when you die, you know, you either go to heaven or hell. And I wanted my children to know God and know His goodness, and the way we do that is because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, and we have a relationship through Him. Our Baptists believe that, and that's why we stick to that, but we don't believe that we have to go to like a priest to ask forgiveness, that we ask forgiveness directly to God through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And it was really important, that was the most important thing for me to teach my children, more than a Baptist way, you know, Christian way.
By, I guess, reading books and stuff, the Southern culture is very conservative and old-fashioned. You seem like a very successful, outgoing woman. When you first got married, were you this way? Were you always outgoing and successful and not conservative?
Well, I'm pretty conservative, but I'm very outgoing. And I made a decision when I was about 16. My family is not a very outgoing family sometimes, and I made a decision when I was about 16. My family now, my children laugh at me because I make all these decisions real young in my life. But I made a decision when I was about 15 or 16 that I could be outgoing or I could be a wildflower. What do you want to be? And I decided I wanted to be outgoing, so I made an effort to speak to people. When you make an effort to speak to people, they usually speak back to you. So, I know I've been always kind of strange like that. I've kind of been maybe what people call older than my years, because I'm always thinking about consequences in life. More important than consequences in life, I'm thinking of the mirror on the wall. Like every morning I have to get up and look at that face in the mirror, and I have to be true to what I believe and what I believe is right, what I believe God wants me to do, no matter what everybody else is doing. So I kind of always believe that.
In the 70s, the feminist movement started to bring to light women's concerns and issues. Do you feel that the feminist movement has helped you in any way now?
Probably has helped in some, probably has hurt in some. Could go either way on that. I used to always kid my girls. I have two girls and two boys. And the boys were younger than the girls, so I always used to tell the girls in the car that women are superior. And the boys were always there, and I say, you know, women are superior. So I try to get my girls to go for everything they can in life and do whatever they want to do. But on the other hand, they have to realize, in reality, you live in a man's world. And sometimes you're not going to be able to do everything. That's the reality of it. You can try to do it, but you're still living in a man's world, and you're still put forth that way. Jesus was a great liberator of women, because back when Jesus lived, people didn't acknowledge women. They were a property. They were possession. He spoke to people, women on the streets, you know, at the well drawing water, and people went, huh? And then said, you spoke to a woman, you know. So, I mean, he really puts women in high esteem. But we were put probably back, way back in the Bible, from Adam and Eve, about the low man, and that's kind of part of our sin. So, but, you know, I think you should try whatever you can, but you got to realize that sometimes you do still live in a man's world, and sometimes you can't always do that. Set yourself up for a great fall.
How does the church react to the changing roles of women?
Well, for one thing, women started saying amen in church. And women started praying in church. At our church today, they have women stand up and pray. Used to be only men would stand up and pray. Men would only say amen. Women always have been a very big part of our church as far as teaching Sunday school and doing things. But as far as the active church service, they kind of limited to singing in the choir and playing the piano and the organ. But not necessarily so now. Women get up and give their testimonies and speak what Jesus has done for them. And so it's kind of opened things up a lot.
You've ended up having four children. For one who is married and is in college, they seem to have followed in your footsteps, having the same belief. Was there a time when you knew you wanted them to be Southern Baptist?
Well, yeah, I wanted them to be, Baptist or in my girls and boys to be Baptist, or I could live with Methodist or Presbyterian, even though they believe in predestination. But I would have to really, I would really pray about if they wanted to do something different, totally different. You know, because I've studied some of the other religions, and I just don't believe the way that they believe. I believe some of them are actually a cult. You know, what a cult.